The responsibility of elders in facing the issues. It is very evident there is a widespread misconception of the work of elders. I'm fearful that in many congregations there are those that feel like that they're appointed to a board of directors, or that they are simply becoming CEOs of corporations or something such as that. That's not in any sense, any way, in what the Bible teaches concerning the elder and his responsibility. And one of the things that I understand, because it is a grave responsibility, and that is that we are to, if we are to desire the work of an elder, then it indeed is a great responsibility. And we must be willing to do such a work with all of our heart, with all of our time, in other words, with everything that we have. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30, if you have your Bibles, open them there if you would. Because I believe there the Apostle Paul notes some things that you and I ought to think about. Paul notes the primary duties of overseers or elders. He says they are to take heed unto themselves. And the first place we begin is to take heed unto ourselves. Look into ourselves. See what kind of individual we are. Not everyone can serve as an elder. And I'm fearful that there are those in the congregations throughout the brotherhood that really feel like, okay, we'll just go and we'll find the best we have and we'll install them as elders. And in some of those congregations, the preacher's doing the elders' work. The elders are doing the work of the deacons, and the deacons are doing nothing. We'd better wake up and come back to the reality of what the Bible teaches concerning the work of the elders. When he says there, this would involve serious attention to our responsibilities. Now, in this great work, making certain that they were conforming to God's will. We must conform to God's will, not our desires, not what I would want, not the way I would like things to be, but what God says. And he says, first of all, that we are to feed the flock in which the Holy Ghost has made us overseers. To feed. Just as a literal flock will weaken and die without food, indeed, the spiritual flock, a congregation of God's people, one of the qualifications is that we are to be apt to teach. And if we do not feed that flock, then they're going to die spiritually. And if we allow that to happen, then we're certainly not doing the work as we ought to do as an elder. In the qualification in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2, the word apt to teach there means skillfully handling God's word. It means it is to skillfully be about teaching God's word. Vines, page 609. I'm afraid that if we don't know the Bible, then we can't teach it. Brother Perry Cotham, in a tract that he wrote many, many years ago, and I don't even know if Perry remembers writing or not. I imagine he does. But he says that preachers and elders are to be teaching the Word of God. And he says, brethren, you can't teach it if you don't know it. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, of course this would apply for all, but especially those that desire the work of an elder. We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God and workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, but notice they're handling aright the word of truth. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Highly important work. To serve as overseers effectively, it is essential that elders knowledge and have that knowledge and be able to impart that knowledge, both that they might stop those that are teaching false doctrines. But notice it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 also, and we'll not read those, but it says that he is to be an example unto the flock. In other words, the life that you live is to be that example that others in the congregation can see, and they can look at you and they can mimic that. And of course, there is qualification there. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ." And as those that have authority in a congregation, and by the way, there have been those in the past and there are those now, that are teaching the false doctrine that elders have no authority in the local congregation. The only thing they can do is lead by example. I didn't know much about that false teaching until Brother Ruel Lemons came out in the Firm Foundation back in the 1970s and made that statement. When I read it, I knew right away there was something wrong here. But there were those that were propagating it then, and there are now. But that's not the truth. The Bible teaches that elders do have authority, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Because it says we are to watch, and there must be a deep concern for everyone in the congregation, not just a few. And if elders are to accomplish their highly important God-given task, then it's necessary for the flock to obey and for them to be willing to be taught. That's one of the very simple principles that is laid down. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the Bible teaches there that they are to obey those that have the rule over them. Now, I'll be the first to admit that in matters of doctrine, we make no choices except to follow the Word of God. Really, the decisions an eldership will make are over those things of matters of expediency. But yet, there is that great work. And I believe today that you'll agree with me when I make this statement, that I believe there is a crisis in the body of Christ concerning the elderships. There is a lack of qualified elders, and it's not something new, but it is the failure to carry out God's plan. For elders in the church has become much more serious in the past 2 or 3 decades. That problem exists. Now, the statement that elders are the greatest problem within the church today, I agree with. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I agree with the statement, and we'll point out some of the reasons why we do say those things today. Now, God-approved elders who are doing their work, which God intended, are fortunate, and those congregations that have them are fortunate indeed to have those types of men that are overlooking and overseeing the congregations. But as never before in our lives, it is sad that there are many who are looking to denominations for examples in how to make their congregations grow and how to bring about that numbers that they want, but they're looking in the wrong place. I want us to talk for a few moments about some of these areas in which we must deal with as elders. Some of the issues that are taking place even in the brotherhood. I appreciated so very much what Brother Tony Smith had to say in the hour before, when he talked about some of those who claim to be Christian colleges that are sending back to the congregation those individuals they have taught in the ways of false teaching, and those individuals are impressing, they're having an influence on the congregations around them, and because of elderships being like politicians, licking their finger, holding it up in the wind to see which way the congregation wants them to go, they're being led astray. That ought not be, brethren. It ought not be the way that things are done. One of the problems, one of the crises, one of the issues that elders must deal with is a lack of proper teaching. A primary duty of elders is to see that the flock is properly fed, but in general, we are no longer people of the Bible. Now, what I mean by that very simply is this: as we once had The elders in Ephesus, they were told what to do by the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20. And if you'll notice in verse 28 there, they were told to feed the flock. Now, I'm convinced had that succession of elders taken what the Apostle Paul had said and fed the flock as they were to be fed, then I believe there would be those in Ephesus today meeting there, and they would be worshiping God in spirit and in truth as Paul told them to do. But what was the problem? There was not proper teaching. They did not continue to teach. They did not continue to practice what the New Testament was teaching them to do. They were cautioned, and they were told that even among them that there would be grievous wolves that would enter in. And you know, the sad part of it is, Paul said that the grievous wolves are going to enter in even among those whom? The elders. The ones that were to do the proper teaching. They were cautioned about their departure, but it crept into the eldership. And then false teaching, false doctrine came about. Not only is proper feeding not being provided, in some instances elders are actually bringing in false teachers. It's happening right here in the Kansas City area. And I know it's happening in your area. There was a list of false teachers given this morning by Brother Tony Smith and others that have spoken on this lectureship. But yet at the same time, there are those that not receiving proper teaching because they'll allow, they'll want, because someone has a name of nobility, or notoriety, excuse me, such as Max Licato, Reuben Shelley, Terry Rush. I remember a couple of 3 years ago that some of the congregations in this area got together, sent letters out. I'm sure this congregation received one of those letters. They wanted a cooperation effort that we all get together, get the big stadium down here, and they were going to call Terry Rush in to present, they said, the gospel. What were they going to be fed by that man? Let me put it in the phrase of one of my grandchildren, garbage. Not the Bible, not what God teaches, but garbage. There are those false teachers which are allowed. And who brings them in? It's the elders that allow them to come. It's the elders that bring them in. Brethren, there needs to be a stop to those types of things. There needs to be an end to it. And as the rest of our country, in some cases, elders do not know what is being taught in their classrooms even. Can you imagine that teaching materials is not even examined closely by some elderships? Now, I know this is a fact because I have a cousin that's an elder in a congregation just a few miles to the east of us here. And I asked him one time, I said, how closely do you watch your materials that are coming in? It's a liberal congregation, by the way. Well, pretty well, he said. I said, what are you using in some of your classrooms? Well, he said, our teenagers have started using Max Licato's book. One of his books, I don't know which one. And I said, do you realize that is full of false teaching? That it is a book that you should not even allow in your home or in the state, as far as I'm concerned, but you're having it in your classrooms? Well, I haven't really read it. That's an indictment, isn't it, toward that eldership? Elders sometimes do not even have meetings with their teachers. They don't have questionnaires for their teachers to fill out. They don't know what's being taught their children in the classes. These are issues that need to be addressed in every congregation. Unreliable versions being used from the pulpit and in the classroom. Again, Brother Taylor has done a marvelous job. I appreciate it so very much, Brother Foy Wallace's book on the versions and Brother Taylor's book on the versions. But I'll tell you what I do not appreciate. The first time one hits the shelf, a new version, one of our other brethren going on the internet and saying, let me introduce you to this version. Brethren, we'd better examine them. We'd better know what's in them. We'd better realize what our children are being taught. Let me tell you a little story. I have an uncle not too far from here that is a Baptist preacher. Him and I have a lot of discussions concerning the Bible. Well, I was down here a while back. Out of respect, I go visit him because I love him. He's my uncle, but he preaches in the Faith Baptist Church. Our visits don't last long. But he said, you know, we've had a split in our congregation here. I said, why? He said, well, there were some that are wanting to use the NIV version and other versions, and we just don't agree with that. We believe you need to stick with the King James. And I looked him in the face and I said, why? If I was you, I'd grab that NIV. I'd go with it because that teaches your Calvinistic doctrine right down the line. Oh, he said, I might have known you'd say something like that. But friends, that's exactly the truth. And when we allow those versions to come into congregations and people to use them, they're going to be taught false doctrines. I've always said. And Brother Foy Wallace said it better than I. He said, if you want to convert a congregation and you want to take them into liberalism and take them away from the body of Christ, all you need to do is come up with a version, put your false teaching into it, and they'll follow it, swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Now, I know today, and I know Brother Taylor, in convincing some people not to use these perversions, it's kind of like jumping over the moon in a pogo stick. It's just not going to happen. But, brethren, we'd better wake up and listen. If we're going to teach our people, we'd better use the right methods, the right material, and see what's being taught in our classes. But another issue that I feel is a very important one is that there are elderships who will not practice discipline as the Bible teaches. They just lay it aside. We are in a crisis when elders do not lead the church in discipline of disorderly members. Most of our leadership even seems to hesitate to publicly combat any moral wickedness. As a matter of fact, in James chapter 4, verse 7, notice there, the Bible teaches we must combat it. That there are those that are immoral. They need to be dealt with. Sin is vigorously referred to in abstract terms. Sinners are knowingly tolerated in numerous congregations. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and if you notice there in verse 2, you know as well as I what the Apostle Paul said. He said, there is one among you that is sinning. He's living with his father's wife. He is living in fornication. And he said, you're puffed up about it. In other words, you've ignored it. You're not going to do anything about it. And he said, it's a shame unto you. What's the obligation? What is the duty? What is that we must do as elders when immorality enters into the congregation? Well, let's just ignore it. Maybe it'll go away. Let's don't look at it. Let's don't admit it. Because after all, if we go and we do discipline as the Bible teaches we ought to discipline those individuals, then their family might go away from the congregation, or we might run some others off. Most likely, sometimes you will. One of the things I found out a long time ago is that if you're going to preach sound doctrine, if you're going to teach it as a preacher, if you're going to insist on it as an elder, you definitely will run some people off. But then when you gain that reputation that you are a Bible-based church, congregation, that you're going to live according to God's will, you're going to practice God's doctrine and not man's doctrine, then you definitely will have individuals that will also want to be a part of a congregation like that, if they're taught properly. I know in one congregation I preached in Oklahoma, I did not know the eldership that well. I went there, I tried out, they hired me, they brought me in, I preached there for about 3 months, and was at a baseball game one night with a couple of elders and their wives and their family, and the Baptist preacher happened to walk by. And he looked over at one of our elders and he said, sure was good to see you the other night. And I kind of thought, they friends or what? Small town must be. And that elder sitting there beside me, called himself an elder, he looked up and said, boy, that daughter of yours, she sure can play that new organ you all put in your church building. I'm sitting there right now, but this time I'm getting red-faced, as if I'm not always. And I said, what do you mean? Well, I went over there the other night. They dedicated this new organ to that building, so I went over there. I said, you did what? I thought, well, I better not say too much here. So the next week when I had an opportunity, I called all the elders together. And I said, now here's what I've heard, and here's what he said to me, and this is the situation, and I don't think I can work for an eldership or under an eldership that is going to sit there and condone the instrumental music being used in worship, even though they're a denomination. And the other elders said, well, we didn't know that either. And they ended up asking this man to resign. And they should have. They needed to discipline him. They needed to have him repent. But brethren, sometimes we just don't want to deal with those things. I've known of congregations, I've had this said to me personally. When I've asked elders, why are you not dealing with this immoral situation that's taking place in your congregation? And here are the exact words. We might lose some members, and besides that, we might get sued. I say, sue you. I say, it doesn't matter. The Bible says, do it. God knows exactly the results of what will happen when we do so and carry out His will. And we are obligated to do what God says, not what those men that call themselves elders say. Another crisis, I believe, in the church, another area, another issue, lost sheep are not sought. It is not uncommon for members to drift away and elders put forth no effort to find them and bring them back to the state of their faithfulness. In Acts 20 and verse 28, notice there the Bible teaches very clearly that we are to take heed over ourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made us overseers. We have a responsibility to our members to make sure that that flock is safe. And when they do stray, we are to go to them and encourage them to come back to be faithful unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fellowship, another area of issue, fellowship with error is allowed. If the New Testament teaches anything, and it does, it teaches that faithful Christians cannot fellowship error, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Yet members may have fellowship with liberal congregations and never have a rebuke from elders who are to be watching after their spiritual welfare. Not only that, when mail comes to the post office and some congregation across town who is a liberal congregation and we know there are false teachers there, on the bulletin board, automatically goes up their announcements of their meetings, their youth rallies, and all other events that are taking place in the area, and elders do nothing about it. You know, I went to Overland Park, Kansas here about 2 months ago, and I thought, well, I'm going to go in the building here and just look at their bulletin board if they'll let me in. Now, I know what that congregation was before I ever walked through the door. But when I walked in and looked at the bulletin board, and by the way, I took a picture of it. And they had announcements on there to attend every liberal event that was taking place in that community, and one for the Baptist church who was having a meeting. That I know. They were talking about their youth minister and the Bible study she was going to have with their young men and young women. And talking about the counselors and such as that. My friends, we're sending our children to things such as that, and we're allowing that to go in our bulletin boards. Oh, we can't do that. That's fellowshipping error. The Bible teaches we are not to do that. It says, as a matter of fact, that we are to bring to light those evil works. And that follows up with the next issue that we're going to talk about. False teaching is allowed. Some elders will not take issue with false teachers, seemingly thinking that if nothing is said, the false teaching will simply go away. It's not going to happen that way. In the last 30 years, preachers, elders, and congregations have decided it was not best to debate false teachers any longer. When's the last time you heard a debate? Now, I know there are some men here that have entered into debates, and they'll continue to do so. Brother Don Underwood sitting over here has done so, and some others. But men like that are few and far between, because there's not many challenges laid out there before people any longer. But instead, as some mentioned this morning, as Tony mentioned this morning, we'll invite them in and let them propagate their false teaching. We should not, as it is said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5, not even for an hour, allow false teachers to come in among us and to teach those things which are going to lead astray the flock in which we are to oversee. 2 Timothy 2, verses 16 and 17. The Bible teaches us clearly there that error must be stopped, that we are to study, we are to know God's truth. But yet, there are some problems that elders may have also. And one of the issues is input from the congregation is not desired by some elderships. We don't want to know what the congregation is thinking. Now, when I first started preaching, an older preacher gave me some great advice, Brother G.K. Wallace. He said, now, Bill, don't ever be an idiot and pass out in the congregation where you preach a survey and ask people what they think about your work you're doing. You guys know what I mean, don't you? And I never did that. But I'll tell you one thing elders must do. They must have those doors to the office open. They must have their homes open. They must have their minds open. There must be communication between them and the congregation. Every member of a congregation ought to be able to approach an eldership and speak their mind, right or wrong. That gives the elders an opportunity to study with them, and it also gives the elders an opportunity to know maybe where they lack in some areas. We need input from a congregation to deal with the issues that are being confronted, the things that are happening. You may know things we don't know that we ought to be dealing with. And good, godly elders, I believe, want to know those things so they can deal with them in that congregation. But elders, once again, sometimes don't desire input from a congregation because it will seem as if they're being criticized sometimes. But there are also elders that are standing for error. Not only is error sometimes tolerated, the number of elders which blatantly uphold and teach error is increasing. Some of our most vocal false teachers are allowed access to congregation because elders themselves are false teachers. Now that is a prophecy, that is a verse that has come to us in Acts 20, verse 29, because the Bible taught there, from among you there shall arise false teachers. Don't fool yourselves. Each one of us is susceptible to teaching a false doctrine if we're not careful, if we do not study the Word of God and do as God would have us to do. Because He said, from among you, the elders. That's where it starts. That's where the false teaching comes in. And the first great apostasy we see through the ages is where there become those who were elder bishops and so on and so forth, forming dioceses. Now, we might joke with one another and such as that, and I might look at Louis Ward and I might say, Louis, you're the elder bishop here, or something such as that. That's not a lie. He is elder. I think he's the oldest one, aren't you, Louis? Had to get that in. Louis said, I wanted to introduce you so bad. And I'm glad he didn't. But again, untaught elders is another issue. Some elders do not hold fast the faithful word because they never have been taught. Well, Paul told Timothy to study to show himself approved and all. But he also said, take that thou which you have learned and teach it to others. Give it to them that they might go ahead and teach others also that sound word. Someone says, I want to be an elder. Brother, if you want to be an elder, you must be taught the Word of God. You must know it inside and out. You must know the scheme of redemption from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You must be able to stop the mouths of those that are false teachers and the gainsayers and those that would destroy and devour the flock. You have to watch after the flock, and you have to be ready to stand up and say, no, there'll not a Rubel-Shelley come in here. No, Max Licato's material will not come into this congregation. And no, we'll not post on our bulletin board nor encourage our people to go across town or be involved in that falsehood. We will not do it. Amen? Amen. You see, the idea there is that elders themselves are untaught, and that cannot be allowed. Uninformed elders is another problem. Brother Johnny Skaggs is going to have a lesson this week, and I don't really know what day it is, but the title of it is, I Don't Know and I Don't Care. Now, if you ask me, that's the biggest problem in the Lord's church. Some people don't know and they don't care. But if you approach some elderships and you ask them, well, what do you think about the situation down here at this college? Or what do you think about this situation over here that has occurred? They'll say, what situation? I don't know what you're talking about. And that's exactly what Paul is telling these elders at Ephesus. Hey, wake up. Be aware of what's going on. Know what's happening around you. Because you can't deal with it if it's not out in the open. A lot of preachers are uninformed. That's bad. But an eldership must be informed about those issues, those things that are taking place in the Lord's church. All you need to do is pick up a brotherhood paper. All you need to do is go to a few lectureships. All you need to do is listen to some of the things that are being taught, and you'll find, indeed, plenty to watch out for. But then there are elders also that take the opposite route, and they want to lord it over a congregation. And as a matter of fact, they're told not to do that. As a matter of fact, it says that we're not to lord it over a congregation, and we're not to force. God's given elders authority to rule over the flock. There's no doubt about that. Acts 20, verse 28. But yet, at the same time, elders are not to try to be 10 gods. They're not to try to force something onto a congregation, but they must be teaching them. And then there is that failure of some elderships to support a preacher. Financially, of course, we understand they must be supported financially. But one of the things that I have found frustrating through the years sometimes in elderships that I have worked under is that if I were to get up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the doctrine which I was told to preach by Paul and was taught to preach in fine preaching schools and things such as that, that sometimes when I said things that were not popular, then those elders simply sometimes would back off. And there you are, standing out there alone. You fellas ever been there? It's okay if you raise your hand. I don't care. I know who you are anyway. And I know that's happened to you. But elders need to stand behind those preachers that are preaching the truth. But if one is not preaching the truth, then he needs to be stopped immediately also. Special interest influence. special interest influence. And what is it, 4, 3, 2, 1? He had moved over on the pulpit. And as I said a moment ago, elderships are not to just take a poll in a congregation and find out what's popular. They're not to say, okay, well, the majority wants this, and if we do this, then we're going to have an uprising in the congregation, and this group over here is not going to like it. You know what? We may lose them. If it's God's Word, you contend, you hold up for it. You stand in the gap. The only thing between you or between the world and the church is you standing in that gap, guarding that flock, watching after those members. The Bible says that when you serve as an elder and you do it as God says we are to do it, and God is pleased with us and we are worthy of double honor. We don't want praise heaped upon us. That's not what any elder wants. But that honor that he has given is when you look at your flock and you see those that are growing, you see those that are being fed spiritually, and you see them nourished, and they're growing spiritually. Brethren, that's enough for me. And to see them go to heaven one day, and we can all hold hands together in heaven, and we can say, we worked hard, we tried, we've done everything we can do. And God said, enter into the joys of the Lord, because you've been faithful. I believe elders are those individuals that are going to take people to heaven or send them to hell. We have a great responsibility. I want you to pray for me that I do that work as God wants me to do it. I don't believe we can tolerate. I don't believe there can be allowed just those head figures or figureheads in congregations that claim to be elders but really are not. Remember this while you consider installing elders. It's a whole lot easier to put them in than it is to get them out. Thank you, brethren.